Hi, friends, and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we are joined by two women who have shaken up Louisiana politics. They ran for legislative office in the 43rd and the 45th district. They are both first-time candidates, and the subject of our show today is their experiences in that campaign. Joining us from District 45, Rhonda Gleason. Ms. Gleason was born in Lafayette. She went to Acadiana High School, Go Reckon Rams, college at UL in English, and then on to Northwest, where she got a degree in fine arts or studied fine arts. She's currently a college instructor. Also joining us is Ms. Leslie Bork, who was born in Lafayette. She went to Lafayette High School, Go Lions. She went to UL, got a degree in marketing, and describes herself as a mom. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Pearson.
2019 was known as the year of the woman, and there were an unprecedented number of women running for office all over Louisiana at different levels, particularly in the legislature. I think there were 77, I heard, women running for the Louisiana legislature. And you were two of those women. You were not successful in your campaigns, but I thought perhaps that your experiences in running might be interesting for our listeners. So let's start off, I guess we'll start off with Rhonda.
Sure.
What was your reason for running? Why did you pick this year? Did Emerge Louisiana have anything to do with that? Were there issues?
Well, I'd like to start off by saying that if you mean that we were not successful in our race, I have a little, I find that inaccurate, because we were successful in achieving 27% of the votes in that race, and we had an incredibly successful run. We used our data that, yes, I did learn both with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America and through Emerge. We used our data to identify our voters, and those voters that we contacted, we were successful in pulling them to the polls. So there is a success for me and for my team. I do appreciate the time that I had with Emerge America and our new Louisiana group. It was wonderful to be selected to be part of that inaugural group. And those 6 months of training absolutely did help me get some perspective in terms of how to implement a successful team. But I will say the actual success or the actual experience is I don't think we could learn that in 6 months or even a year. But it was a great run, absolutely.
Leslie, same question. What impelled you to run? How did you feel about why this year?
Well, I did not do Emerge, nor did I ever think I was going to run for office. I was courted by a few people to actually run as a progressive, and wasn't going to do it. I didn't think being a politician was who I am. Ultimately, I decided to do it basically following, you know, Mimi Methvin's footsteps. She, you know, was such a catalyst for this area and for women. And ultimately, you know, my opponent hadn't had a challenger for two terms. And for our democracy's sake, I feel that there should always be someone on the ballot. So I jumped in. And I'm glad I did it. Learned so much. Met amazing people. Yeah. And, you know, kind of knew it was an uphill battle. Had so many people telling me not to do it. I think I asked you or gave me the odds. So it wasn't a huge disappointment when the numbers came in. But I know that I reached a lot of people and got my message across, and ultimately wasn't a politician. So I think I did it in my way.
So let me just say, if I did talk to you about your race before you ran, I probably said something like, well, your opponent is pretty well entrenched,
yeah, exactly.
And I'm not sure about your ability to dislodge that opponent.
Exactly.
But you know, I always feel as a political scientist that there are worthwhile things to have people present themselves as candidates.
Well, and I think one of the, you know, pitfalls was he had a lot of money going in. And when I did ask people that I thought were important and influencers in politics, you know, whether I should or not, most of what they said was he's got a lot of money and he's done a lot of favors, but nothing about policy he has done or how he votes or, you know. So that was something that I felt, you know, I did ask Memmi and she said, don't not do it because of money.
Right.
So that was.
You mentioned Memmi Methvin, who, of course, ran for Congress against Clay Higgins and came up short. Was Memmi a consciousness raiser for you, Rhonda?
You know, I really enjoyed working directly with Memmi and her campaign. I did see so many people really back her. I mean, just a real legitimate turnout of support. So, you know, with my advocacy background and seeing that that pulse was still there, I think I'm sure it did play a role in that sort of in building a bit of a comfort zone because of that strong cohort that we have been building in Lafayette and that I saw implemented in Memmi's campaign and then in my own. Absolutely.
One of the things we've been talking about in the shows that I've done recently since the election has to do with the nationalization of politics in Louisiana, meaning that Louisianans are paying a lot of attention to what happens at the national stage. And Rhonda, if you could start, the victory of Donald Trump in 2016, did that have anything to do with your candidacy, or were you focused more on Louisiana issues?
I'm definitely focused more on Louisiana issues. I think that we need to realize what our assets are in Louisiana, and we need to make that our primary focus. I feel that the national narrative creates sort of a smokescreen and is distracting for us, no matter where you lie on the political spectrum. And I think that's an insult to us, and probably to folks I know, to folks in states across the country. The national narrative, the way it is right now, the way we counter it is by getting strong as a state and really galvanizing folks here, and not playing into that national narrative.
Okay. Leslie, national narrative or the national victory of Donald Trump or the national politics have anything to do with your candidacy?
Well, it's interesting because I had some advice from a Democrat that told me to basically, you know, I was the outsider and that's kind of what Trump was. And because I had a very red district to play the outsider, apparently that's what people voted in. So canvassing was so interesting to me. A lot of people confessed they weren't really into local politics as much as national. But when you start asking them what keeps you up at night, you know, it is drainage. It's their homes flooding. It's education.
Let's refocus just a little bit. Leslie, so what were the issues that got you into this campaign or the issues that you thought were most important for your campaign?
It started with education. Dylan and I are
– Dylan is your
Dylan
husband.
Is my partner in life.
Partner.
We're not married, but yeah. But education, when we moved from New York, we were had our kids in public schools. And coming here, we moved for the quality of life to Lafayette, to my hometown, and quickly found that you had to pay a lot of money for schools to have the quality of life. You know, we searched. Like, we really did research and try. So getting to know teachers, and I realized that, and doing some work in the schools, that these schools aren't, you know, yes, we have one of the, you know.
Feels like you're not really trying. You're not saying what you're intending here.
Well, no, I feel like Rhonda is shaking her head. I don't know. I think that education was my big thing.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, and it had to do with your experience. Did you end up placing your children in public schools or did you go with private?
We were in private.
Okay. So education, your big issue, the idea maybe education quality should be raised. Someone moving from New York would maybe think, oh, well, I'm okay putting my kids in public school in Louisiana.
Well, no, and that's what we talked a lot about it. When it came down to, you know, my school was zoned for being a D rating. And at the time, before I really started delving in, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I've learned so much just researching these issues and why. And so that was important. There was a lot of suspension. And so at the time, you know, I thought, well, you know, these are my kids. And yes, I could do it for because I should. But I don't know. I mean, I know that teachers deserve more money. I know that education is the number one thing we need to invest in, and we're not doing it. And
so for you, education was the big issue that impelled you to run. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Leslie Bork and Rhonda Gleason, both of whom ran for legislative office in this most recent election.
But I don't know if education – I mean, that was just one of my – I think what initially – got me to run was more transparency in government, holding people accountable. And why are we a poor state and why are we not progressing far forward?
And so education would be symptomatic of that maybe a little
bit. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Rhonda, issues that you ran on?
I have been going to the legislature for the last several years. I actually preceded the incumbent who did win his seat. In our race, and I watched a sort of decline in our legislative body, and that decline stems from a disregard for public education. I see a threat on our healthcare system. I see that we're in an upswing now with John Bel Edwards, and I want to protect. The legislature. I want to protect balance in that legislature. So those are reasons why, just to touch back on the last question, the impetus of my running, but then also that impetus has to do with the reasoning behind it. So 100% public schools. I'm a third-generation educator in Lafayette. Public schools have been extremely just gracious to my children, whether it's our French immersion program, our gifted and talented program. In fact, across the board in special education, we have a very competitive program here in Louisiana, in Lafayette especially, and I feel a desire to protect that. And then, of course, like I said, healthcare. I have multiple sclerosis. I've had it for 16 years now. And I know how hard it is to hold on to healthcare. And it's extremely important that we focus on those basic, that foundation of what is not only democracy, but what is the strength, the backbone of our state.
Right. Well, those are all very interesting issues, and I want to dig into those. We're going to have to take a short break and hear a message. Let me remind you, we're talking to Ms. Rhonda Gleason, Ms. Leslie Bork, who were candidates for legislative office in the last election. We'll be right back.
You can skip the hassle of finding a buyer for that unwanted car. Just donate it to KRVS and turn it into a tax deduction. Or maybe you've got a truck or a boat or an RV you don't want anymore. Donate it to KRVS. It's very easy, and it helps to support KRVS. A toll-free number and link to the vehicle donation page is on our website, krvs.org, or simply call 877-KRVS-887.
How often have you turned to music for comfort or to make you even happier? We're not always sure why, but music has a powerful effect on our emotions. Let the music reach you each week on The Thistle and Shamrock.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
Hi friends, I'm Pearson Cross. Welcome back to Bayou to Beltway. We are talking today with two public-minded citizens who ran for legislative office for District 43 and District 45, although they were not elected. They're here to tell us about their experiences, and who knows, maybe impel some of our listeners to actually run for office themselves. So as we went to break, we were talking about the issues that motivated the two candidates to run for office, but let's talk about what happened in terms of your learning curve. So, okay, you decided that you're going to run for office. So most people would say, oh, my God, what do I do? So what did you do, Rhonda?
Well, first of all, I relied on the close concert and working with folks who have a real passion for our community and a passion to make things better. And you know,
is that an informal network?
Yeah, it's an informal network. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took the sort of the toolkit that you know Emerge and Moms Demand Action have set into my scope, and then moved forward on that. I enjoy Facebook as and social media as a tool to like pick up information, to kind of glean, you know, what's going on. But it's not, you know, no one says, I want to vote for you because of something you put on Facebook, you know. So I think that we get pulled into, like we were talking about earlier, that national narrative. We have so much information coming at us. But when you are a grassroots kind of a motivator, you do hear and learn what the actual what's behind the pulse of your community. So that's where we started, and that's where we ended. We used our data. We had a great couple of data team folks, and we just knew exactly where to focus and target, you know, our strong voters. But then we also reached out to those who just needed to know that they had a choice in their district. And like I said, the numbers turned out. You know, we treat our team like family, basically, and we just pushed through. So essentially, that's how everything started.
How
at the
many
beginning.
People were on your team? If thinking about a team, 3, 5, 2, 1.
Dozen or so?
A dozen okay. People. Yeah. And did they each have, were they divided up into different responsibility
Correct.
Areas?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We had our field team, we had our data team, we had our social media sort of team. Mm-hmm. But again, that wasn't as effective, so we would redirect anytime, speaking of learning curve, anytime that we you know, implemented a strategy, we would quickly realize where things were not working. And sometimes we had to phase out aspects that were just not working and then just pursue the goal. And, of course, keep in mind the timetable, keep in mind our resources. And we had a very lean budget. I mean, we were not hustling for financial backing. Anything we need, we had. We had reliable donors. And I do have to say thank you to some of our network outside of Louisiana for being there for me, because there are actually quite a few moms alum and active Moms Demand Action folks who have run
Moms
for
Demand
office.
Action, by the way, for our listeners who are wondering about that, is a organization that's trying to change gun laws, trying to.
We're just trying to build awareness, and it's a nonpartisan group. And it's just, and we've actually been successful through the legislature. So having those contacts still mm-hmm. nationwide, you know, they're
so
just.
So you reached out to contacts
oh, yeah.
you work with,
oh, yeah.
The,
yeah.
You kind of activated
well, they kind of
networks.
Picked up. Well, I will say that there is a sort of a crossover with Emerge America mm-hmm. and Emerge Louisiana. Yeah. And so everyone's kind of working together.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Leslie, so tell me about your team, about your strategy, about the war room, how many people.
Well, I think mostly it all came to me, my team, my people. First of all, a man named Jim Francis, who ran for Congress. He did not win, but I think that's kind of why he, you know, gravitated towards me, is he saw something in me, really believed in me, and he knew the process and knew I didn't, which I was thankful. I mean, we talked every day. He schooled me on policy. He really got meetings. You know, that would be what I said. What I just met a lot of people. I mean, every day it was so much fun getting to know people. And that's
who were these people that you were meeting? Were you going to events or
going
were you just
to events?
Canvassing or
well, I mean, before canvassing, but going to events, I would get people. You know, private message me on Facebook. I went to Lake Charles a lot to meet some people that were just feeding me information about my opponents, his voting record, you know, and just wanting me to meet people, introduce me. I don't know. I just had a big fan club of people that really saw something in me. As far as my team, team, again, people reaching out to me saying, I have this I can help you with. And, you know, from fundraising to canvassing and not really political. I think one really was specialized in politics, but otherwise just people wanting to hustle for me and knowing that I was grassroots. My mom was a big player, which is funny.
Sounds a little bit you had kind of an impromptu campaign. I'm not sensing a lot of structure.
No,
here.
There wasn't. There really wasn't. It started out, like I said, because Jim, he had, you know, it all mapped out. But I ended up meeting a lady in New Orleans who was social media consulting. And she got on my team, and that's when it switched for me. She really got, she would come and hear me speak. She would listen to my voice. She branded me, I guess you would say. And she got my message, even down to my font, you know, like, or the colors that we chose.
And she just did this. Were you paying her?
I paid her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
She was, I paid Jim, and then we parted ways, and then I paid Christine. Mm-hmm. And, but I will say that I raised, you know, just on my message alone before we started emailing or really asking for donations, around 22,000. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of proud of that. And also, you know, like she said, fundraising wasn't, I was never going to out raise my opponent. So that wasn't a goal. And we raised just enough money for me to finish out the campaign and
pay off the bills and close the books.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm proud of that.
So you didn't get rich on your campaign?
I didn't. No, okay. I didn't put any money in besides the maximum amount. That was important to me, too.
Question. Now, you both ran against incumbents. Did you have interaction with those incumbents at all, Leslie?
I did. I had a lot of interactions from their team at the beginning, which was kind of interesting. They, you know, heard that I was thinking about running. And at the time, I hadn't even decided, waffling back and forth daily almost. So his consultant called me a couple times, first time saying Mr. Bishop wanted to meet with me. So I met him for drinks. And first thing he said was, family's off the table if you decide to run. And I was like, yeah, of course. Which was kind of...
So he was trying to get the ground rules straight.
He was getting the ground rules. He laid it out how it's going to go. We had a great chat. I told him why I was going to run, if I was going to run, and his wife and kids were outside, and he wanted me to meet them, so I met them, and we had a lovely night. I pinky promised that I would let him know if I did decide to run, and on qualifying day, I called him and told him I was going to run. Another time I spoke to him was over a debate that never happened, but he heard that I was willing to debate. And so he called me and said he would pick the place and I could pick the time. I wasn't, you know, the place was a very conservative moderator and known for a certain way. So I said, you know, we could do the place, but I would need to have a neutral moderator, and it never happened. So, yeah.
Rhonda, did you have any interaction with the incumbent you were running against?
We shook hands at a forum that that you actually helped to put on at UL, and I ran into his campaign manager a few times. Our kids go to the same school, and
your kids go to the same school?
They certainly do.
That's
and we were at a not his and mine, but his manager's and mine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And let's see what else. There was a UL alumni function that we crossed paths with there, and you know it was all very civil. So, no, we didn't have any tete-a-tetes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I will tell you something interesting. His consultant called me at the very beginning and basically told me that if I didn't – I don't think he wanted to spend money on a campaign. So not having an opponent would have been better. But, so she called and said if I didn't run that they could – put money into issues that I support And she said that he would, now, if he had to spend money, this would take away from him putting money into John Bel Edwards' campaign, which I found odd. So basically, he said, she said, I would be, I would be helping John Bel not to get elected.
Seems kind of odd, given that, you know, the person you're running against is a Republican who I would assume would support the Republican candidate for governor. But I'm not doubting your story. I'm just saying that it does sound a bit odd. So tell me, what's the biggest surprise in the campaign? I mean, was there something that you just didn't foresee happening that happened or something like that?
Initially, I want to say that the biggest surprise was, you know, everybody sort of coming together and hustling and getting, you know, some good work done. But then I realized that wasn't a surprise. We've got really good folks in Lafayette who've been there for years now and have been all just very, very helpful. And in fact, across the state, I've got to acknowledge our coalitions across the state from Shreveport to New Orleans and back across to Alexandria and everywhere. So that's not a surprise. What was the surprise?
There may not have been.
We had a great conversation with the clerk of court yesterday. We had a couple questions that were answered very well. And my daughters were fantastic. I guess the surprise is that we're going again.
Oh, really?
We're still
hustling. Are you announcing right here? Wow, that's amazing.
What are you
going to run for?
I believe in District 45. And we were actually out at Lanyo's last night, a couple of our team, and they hadn't been out there before. And, you know, walking through the restaurant, there were some folks who knew my dad, who was a basketball coach, and their kids played for him. And we all still kind of recognize each other. And, you know, I really am passionate about that district. And like I said, I've grown up in that district, whether it was my grandfather at UL or at it wasn't UL at the time, but
SLU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then my dad at Acadiana and then myself here on one corner. I mean, I feel a real connection there. And unfortunately, there are stores closing that have been around for quite a long time. And I just know that there's a direct correlation with regard to what's going on in our legislature and why some of these facets in our community that I feel the desire to step it up.
So we're going to hear from you again.
We're still hustling.
Leslie, we're kind of coming towards the end of the show.
Biggest surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that mostly I was a little disappointed in Democrats being involved or I don't want to say engaged, but I don't know. I feel like some part of me feels like they've given up hope because it is such a red state, red district. I know a lot of people, Democrats, thought I was a liability to donate to my campaign.
Do you think you're going to run again?
I am running. I'm running right now for Woman of the Year.
Ah.
I was nominated, so I'm going to campaign for that until March. So
that's
what I'm going to do.
Interesting. Well, we've been talking today with Leslie Bork, who ran for District 43 seat, and Ms. Rhonda Gleason, who ran for the District 45 seat. And they've shared their experiences with us today, and we wish them luck in the future. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Pearson.
Thank you.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
Get on your telephone and call somebody and tell them the Zydeco Stomp is on KRVS. Hi, I'm Herman Fuselier, inviting you to join me Saturdays from noon to 3 for the best in Zydeco blues and R&B on the Zydeco Stomp. You'll hear Gino Delafosse, Keith Frank, Travis Mott, Chris Ardwan, Bobby Blue Bland, B.B. King, Aretha Franklin, and you never know who may show up for the party. Barbecue and drink a few on the Zydeco Stomp from noon to 3 Saturdays only on KRVS 88.7 FM.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.